Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, everybody jump.
Yes. A good Wednesday morning. Happy hump day, one and all. It is Taz and the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio as we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. You've got Mike Pete across the way. Bogus double duty this morning, sitting with me. And he's also got your updates as well. Taz a little bit under the weather. Hopefully he's back with us tomorrow morning. But we'll take you right up until 9 a.m. Eastern Time series at XM 206, the app as well. What's going on, Andrew? How you doing, bud?
Moose, I'm doing well. It's good to see you. Thanks for having me.
No, thanks for hopping in.
And let me say, I know what's going on around here.
Yeah.
I know what's happening. I know why Taz is not here today. And I'm not hesitating to say why and point fingers and issue blame. And I'm not happy about it.
Why? Because of the Bilotti breakfast?
Yeah, I mean, it seems obvious
to me.
Which
has now been delayed.
Exactly. The whole theme of this from the beginning is Pete slow playing, buying us breakfast. You guys tell me. Well, we told you it's Wednesday. And then lo and behold, Wednesday morning, Pete's best friend in the whole world, the guy he's been buttering up for more than a year and a half now.
Yeah.
Just out of nowhere doesn't feel well, so he's not here. Yeah. We can't have breakfast, and I guarantee you something will happen tomorrow. That means no breakfast again, and then we're on to Friday.
Well, it's a valid theory.
Thank you.
A valid theory. I mean, it really is. But hopefully he's back with us, Taz, that is, tomorrow morning, and hopefully we have breakfast tomorrow morning. At some point in time, he will work again.
But whenever will he and Pete work on the same day?
Well, as long as there's not a wrestling event on Thursday night, Pete should be here on Friday.
That's very true.
Right?
Is there a wrestling event on Thursday? Sure there is somewhere.
I'm sure there is somewhere in the world. But as long as it's not on pay-per-view,
right.
I think we're good to go.
It's very fair.
Thank you, Pete. I appreciate it. But we got a lot to get into as we take it right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time. Jeff Goodman will join us. Basketball analyst at Stadium will join Andrew and myself coming your way in the third and final hour right around 8:20 a.m. Eastern time this morning. And talk about, we'll get into the playoff game last night where the Golden State Warriors, even without Kevin Durant, kind of played with the Portland Trail Blazers game one of the Western Conference Finals out in Golden State. We'll get into that here in a little bit. But really, the big news of the night, even with an NBA playoff game, was the NBA draft lottery out there in Chicago. We're amazingly enough, with just a 6% chance of winning the draft lottery, it is David Griffin and the New Orleans Pelicans that come away with the number one overall pick. So they win the Zion Williamson sweepstakes as the best overall draft prospect going into June's NBA draft. And, yeah, listen, I think what the NBA, there's a couple of things you can go about, and I'll give you my thoughts as a Knicks fan as they fall to three in the draft. It would have been a disaster if they fell outside three, like the Phoenix Suns did, like the Cleveland Cavaliers did. But the new draft lottery process, I mean, for the NBA, it worked. I mean, it did work, and because the Knicks, who had the worst record in the NBA, ended up with pick three. The teams with the three worst records in the NBA, the Knicks with the third, the Knicks were at three, the Cleveland Cavaliers were at five, and then you look at the Phoenix Suns as they were represented by DeAndre Ayton, they fall all the way down to the sixth overall draft choice. So if you want to try and do something to negate tanking in the NBA, Andrew, I think last night for Adam Silver and the NBA commissioner, last night worked.
Well, I think it worked as a TV event because it was certainly good television for those last, you know, they kill like 16 minutes and then the last 14, they speed through the 14 picks and
yes.
The one commercial break in the middle and they wheel out the last four guys standing. It worked on TV having Zion there watching him and Rachel Nichols taunting him from the desk in at a commercial break. I think it worked from that vantage point, but it didn't. I don't know how much it actually eliminated tanking because the Knicks were still terrible. The Cavs were still terrible.
But they didn't get rewarded.
Well, I mean, and that's my issue actually this morning. I will never think that the lottery is the best way to go about this. I have maybe I'm the league leader or the number one fine with tanking guy that you're ever going to meet. Like I get it. It sucks to sit through it. It's a long season and teams do it for multiple years, and it can be painful for fans. I get that. But this is the way you fix your franchise. And I don't want to reward ineptitude, but I kind of want to reward ineptitude. And if you have the worst record, you should have the first pick. The Knicks should have had the first pick in this draft from the second the regular season ended. There shouldn't have been any drama, no lottery, no nothing, no Pelicans surge, no Lakers surge. I think you need to let these teams pick the best players and try to go back to being good as quickly as possible.
Well, okay, and you know that's you know it's an interesting take, but let's look at the last four teams that are left in these NBA playoffs, mm-hmm. right? Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
Were any of them top four picks?
Not top four, no.
No.
Curry was seven, right? That was the highest
of
the bunch.
Seventh overall pick. Yeah. Was when you look at Giannis Antetokounmpo out in Milwaukee, was he a top 10 pick?
He wasn't, but again, like...
No. Was Kawhi Leonard? No, he's 15th overall.
Yes, he was, correct.
You look at now you can go out to Portland, right? You look at CJ McCollum, you look at Damian Lillard, right?
Yeah.
Both were... top 10 draft choices, correct, I believe. I mean, McCollum might have been on the outside of 10, but Damian Lillard was a draft choice that the Portland Trailblazers got from the Brooklyn Nets.
I don't know why number 8 sounds right for Lillard, but I'm just
guessing.
Yeah,
you might be right in terms of 6 for Damian Lillard.
Okay.
So you look at it, and that was originally the property of the Brooklyn Nets, and that was the selection that they got. Who's the small forward that they got in that trade?
Gerald Wallace. Yeah,
that was a terrible one.
That was fun to say.
Right, so, I mean... So we're all looking at where the last four teams in the NBA playoffs here, their best players, all of them. And I know Kevin Durant's hurt, and Kevin Durant would kind of get rid of the argument. But, I mean, Durant, the Golden State Warriors won without KD, so the argument still sticks. They all won with players or are winning with players where their best players and all-star caliber players were not top three NBA draft choices.
No, but, I mean...
Top five NBA draft choices.
In retrospect... Obviously, they should have been. Like, the fact that that people missed on Giannis, 13 teams or 12 teams missed on Giannis, and, you know, people, 14 missed on Giannis. To me, again, it just goes back to the point where you let the Knicks pick number one, right? After all of this nonsense, they're at number one, they have Zion, and then they're done being terrible in all reality. You've got now the Suns and the Cavaliers who are going to, you know, pick 5 and 6, and maybe they don't get that. They're clearly not going to get one of the three best guys in this draft. And now maybe next year they suck again too. And now you're trying to defeat tanking, but you're also prolonging tanking by not giving these teams the quickest route back to being respectable organizations.
I mean, listen, but the Phoenix Suns have DeAndre Ayton. They had the number one overall pick a year ago.
Right.
And they were still ended up being one of the worst teams this year.
Because their individual issues are their owner, and head coaches in 4 months.
But, I mean, how many times can you help a team out?
I get it. That's the next point. And we've had this conversation this morning. I had it last night on Twitter. I don't know what the right answer is.
I think it works. I mean, me personally, I get what you're saying in terms of do it the way the NFL does it, where you're going to reward the worst team, and they're going to have the number one overall pick. But you know what it does present is it does give you as the National Football League provides you an event pretty much every single month, to the point where they have a 5-hour long special to unveil their schedule.
Yeah.
The NBA, and I saw people that cover the National Football League complaining about the drawn out process of the draft lottery last night, which takes a lot of chutzpah if you cover the National Football
League. It was on fast forward.
Can we get to the lottery already? I mean, this is nonsense. Which is, to me, a little bit, Will Brinson, who's been a guest on our program before, complaining on Twitter last night. I'll call him out. I mean, which is complete and utter nonsense. I mean, it really is.
The Cardinals used every last second of their time this year, and we knew they were taking Kyler Murray.
No, right.
That's what Will covers.
I don't disagree with you. I think it's complete and utter nonsense. But I think the draft lottery does work. And I think Adam Silver, first year of the revamped system, I think the NBA was rewarded, because what it's going to be is a lesson to teams saying, all right, we need you to continue to try to win. You can't go out there and try and lose to hopefully get rewarded. We need you to try and win, because even if you have the 5th or 6th worst record in the NBA, you still have a shot or an opportunity to get the number one overall pick. It might be only be a 6% or 8% or 10.5% chance of getting there, Andrew, but you've still got a shot to get there. So you look at the lottery last night for silver in the NBA, it did work. Now, the other thing that bothered me is this, the whole idea that it was rigged. I mean, if we're going, and I get Patrick Ewing was on the dais representing the Knicks,
yeah,
and we all look at the 85, Dave DeBuscher holding the horseshoe, trying to make sure and hopefully that the Knicks end up with the number one overall pick when Patrick Ewing was coming over out of Georgetown, and eventually it was between them and Indiana, and the Knicks ended up with the number one overall pick. But I did see some hot takes fresh out of the oven. Oh, I mean, look at this. I mean, the NBA is fixing it. The New Orleans Pelicans, they need New Orleans to be, you know, somewhat relevant. They want to spread out the stars across the NBA landscape. They're going to have to trade Anthony Davis. So now they're rewarding New Orleans because Anthony Davis is going to have to go. So they're going to give him a bright, shiny, young, new star to build that organization around. That, to me, is complete utter nonsense. Just like when people complain that games are rigged or that it's not being... If you really honestly believe that, then don't watch.
Well, you also can't believe
then
that...
Don't watch.
You can't believe that everything is a conspiracy. You couldn't have gone into yesterday going, well, the Knicks are going to get it because they want Zion in New York. And then when you see the Lakers get into the top four, go, oh, the fix is on for the Lakers now. Let's give LeBron help. And then when the Pelicans win, you shift your conspiracy to, well, they're trying to get New Orleans help and again, rescue them from
the
training.
Right.
It can't be all of those things.
I agree with you.
And, oh, by the way, these things are all this. The picking is happening, like, in front of people. It's not in some dark room where no one sees it. Like,
right.
there were writers in the room. Like, it's not open, but it's also not completely hidden. Like, so it's not, there is no real room to be sneaky in all of this.
Right, there isn't. And I think the NBA actually released a video of the room when they were going through that selection process. I think
Alvin Gentry was losing his mind
correct.
In the room.
Gentry got up. Every team was represented. Allen Houston, who's not the lucky rabbit's foot for the Knicks organization, represented the Knicks franchise in that room. And Gentry started going crazy when they got rewarded with the number one overall pick. And good for Alvin Gentry. I mean, because, you know, they've been so. That to me drives me crazy is when I hear the fact, oh, well, it was fixed. No, it's not fixed. It is what it is. It's the luck of the draw. You're hoping for a little luck. The Pelicans got lucky. The Lakers got a little lucky. The Memphis Grizzlies got a little lucky. And the Knicks avoided complete utter disaster because it would have been a complete disaster if the Knicks had fallen out of the top three.
Yeah.
Because I look at it, Bogish, and we'll get more into it, but I look at this as being a three-player draft, and then there's a drop. I'm not telling you that there's not good players or guys that aren't going to be good. I'm talking about just in terms of overall quality value right now of how they're graded. I think there's three players that are at the top and at the peak, and then I think there's a significant drop to number four. Now, Culver, Garland, all those guys can develop and be good NBA players, all-star caliber players, but they are not valued right now through this process, nor will they be valued as talented as the top three, which is Barrett, Morant, and obviously Zion.
I wish people would just sit back and think about how hard it would be to fix the lottery or a game. Now, I'm not talking about Tim Donaghy owing somebody money and making a bad decision as a referee. Like, that's a one-on-one thing.
Right.
But for the league-wide conspiracy, like, that on top, the NFL wants these two teams in the Super Bowl, or the Yankees have to make the World Series in baseball. The amount of people it would take to pull off a caper like that is fairly significant, which makes it nearly impossible because there's going to be a leaky mouth somewhere that's going to let one of these things, you know, this little secret out here, and we're going to find out like that. It's so impossible for these grand schemes to actually play out. People always go back to that well.
Oh, my God. It's annoying.
I mean, it's just crazy.
It really is.
Did you see the Ernst & Young guy last night? He's not messing around.
No.
He's not letting the NBA sully the good name of EY.
Right. That's exactly right. They're not going to let that happen.
Come on now.
And honestly, you were looking for luck. I was disappointed. As was Zion Williamson. I don't know who was more disappointed.
Yeah.
The Knicks fan out there who was hoping for the number one overall pick. First off, my worst fears almost came realized when, and Rachel Nichols, I don't watch The Jump on a day in, day out basis. I'm not telling you I've never watched it. It's fine. The show is what it is, right? And, but I mean, she was a little lost in terms of going through the entire process and, I know they show they tried to make it a little bit more friendly. All they're throwing out, all of a sudden they're throwing Mike Schmitz out there in front of it. I'm like, who the hell is Mike Schmitz? And why is he telling me about Ja Morant? I guess he's the talent evaluator now for ESPN. Yeah. I've never heard of Mike Schmitz before in my life. I was at SNY last night. I was like, who's Mike Schmitz? And everyone was like, I have no idea. Never heard of him. God bless him. He was on ESPN last night. But I didn't think the coverage was overall that great. But what it was basically like a pump-up job of Zion Williamson. I mean, you wouldn't think, and we all love Zion Williamson. I would think he's the son of God. I mean, the way that they talked about him last night, you would almost believe that Zion Williamson could turn bread into water. I mean, could turn, you know, it's amazing the very fact of how much they pumped him up. It wasn't about anybody else, barely. He got a little Morant. Barely anything on R.J. Barrett. It was all about Zion Williamson. And every time they talked about him, they had his face on camera.
Yeah, and he was listening like through the loudspeakers in the room. I mean, it was a little bit of an awkward setup. And I'll tell you what, if this new system leads to regular upheaval like this, where we have multiple teams jumping into the top four and kind of unforeseen number ones, I don't know that I'd want to be in the room if I'm the next Zion, because I don't want to get caught on camera with my natural immediate reaction to somebody I maybe don't want to play for getting that number one pick, because that first cut to him.
Oh, he didn't look like he wanted to be there.
Right,
I mean, it was
Pelican?
All smiles all night long.
Right.
And then all of a sudden he realized, oh my God, I'm going to New Orleans.
Right,
I'm going to be on the
Anthony
Pelicans.
Davis.
And Mark Spears from Yahoo does a great job. I think he's still with Yahoo.
No, he's the what is it? Undefeated at ESPN.
Oh, is he at the undefeated?
Well,
he does.
So,
yeah, he does a great job. He reported that obviously Zion wanted New York. I mean, he wanted to be a Knick,
right?
And that is not happening. And I don't foresee him pulling a John Elway or Eli Manning and forcing himself out of New Orleans and try to get himself to New York and becoming a Knick. But his initial reaction was that doesn't get you fired up if you're the New Orleans Pelicans, and they had a great reaction of the sales office down in New Orleans when they ended up with the number one overall pick that Zion was coming. And then you see his initial reaction. He's like, oh, my God, I'm going to New Orleans.
Now, he technically, I believe, could go back to Duke. And Matt Norlander, who writes for CBSSports.com, tweeted right away last night, Duke sophomore forward Zion Williamson.
Yeah, right.
I don't think that's happening either. And you know what? I get the initial shock of it, but you could have gone to a worse location. I mean, New Orleans is a nice place to live and have some fun and grow up with some cash and be young. And you'd think that they're going to have assets back whenever they trade Anthony Davis to whomever this offseason. So it's not the worst case scenario.
No, it's not the worst thing in the world.
But when you go in thinking, oh, I might be a Knick, and then you're the first team to jump in is the Lakers, you're like, oh, okay, now two of the four might be the Knicks and the Lakers. If I've got to settle for Ayton and Booker in Phoenix, I'm doing okay here.
Right.
And then the Grizzlies get involved, and then the Pels get involved, and it gets a little dicey, and you get Zion being a little meh last night.
Well, and you had the two most valuable franchises in the NBA and the two least valuable franchises in the NBA. I think
right.
we're the top four in the final four last night. And I thought my worst nightmares were going to be realized when initially they're going through it. And it was confusing in terms of how they went through everything, because you weren't on top of it. First off, it's you know, they have the split screen where they're going through it, and then they have the last four, so they're popping up logos. It's got to be immediate. What they should have done was had the original lottery in terms of
yes.
the worst teams down one list. And then, you know, where it should be, here's 14. So then you can visually match it up, because then you have to all of a sudden you either hop on, you know, your phone, your iPad, whatever smart device or whether computer, and you're trying to find out what the original list is so visually you can see it, because Nichols wasn't on top of it. She was a little confused in terms of how it was going. Then you got into a little bit more of a rhythm. Then you're changing logos because a certain pick was going to be property of one team. If it was a certain area, you know, if it was in the top five, but another team, if it's outside the top five. So it gets a little confusing. I don't think they did a great job explaining it last night, but I thought when the Lakers all of a sudden moved up, I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, that's what
I mean, you got to be kidding me. If you mean to tell me that nut house of an organization right now, the Los Angeles Lakers, end up with the number one overall pick, And I got to watch Zion Williamson in the purple and gold for the next 15 years and, you know, and put up his jersey 25 years from now into the rafters, Bogus. I was like, that can't transpire. That
no.
can't happen.
I don't know, and it really almost did. And I couldn't care less about the Knicks. There were people around here yesterday that were actively rooting against your Knicks getting...
Yeah, I know. Which I don't understand. They stink.
Yeah, and
they haven't won a championship since the early 70s.
No.
What are you rooting against?
But I was not one of those guys when that fifth pick envelope was being lifted off the desk. That was some real, real, real anxiety. And I have got no dog in the fight. And I'm going, if this is the Knicks logo on this card, New York may burn a little bit tonight. Some small section of outside the garden might go down in flames out of anger. So thank you for you. I'm glad it was the Cavaliers.
Oh, thank God. I'll tell you this. I agree with you. And I thought after the Lakers card was 4, I'm like, they're going to actually win this lottery.
I did too.
They're going to win this lottery. Patrick's going to deliver. Patrick looked good for himself last night up on the dais, but they were going to win the lottery, and they end up with the 3rd overall pick, Memphis the 2, and the New Orleans Pelicans with the number 1 overall pick.
Anybody else laugh uncontrollably that Maria Taylor is like 6'5" and David Griffin apparently is like 4'10"? Did you see that? Their post-pick interview?
Yes.
And I know that Maria's talk, she's a volleyball player.
Yes.
I didn't know David Griffin was miniature.
Staggering
as a visual.
I didn't know he was that small.
It was crazy. I'm like, what? Is she on
Maria Taylor's also wearing like 3-inch heels.
I mean, woof.
So she's like 6'8".
Clearly, that's why David Griffin was a GM and not a player.
And he said he went into it saying, we're going to win this lottery. And they ended up winning the lottery.
So maybe it was fixed.
Stop. We'll get into the options for New Orleans. What would you do if you're the Pelicans now here moving forward? What would you do with the Knicks and with the 3rd overall pick? I'll give you my reaction as well. Watching that lottery too. We went through the process, certainly, after how it all went down last night. It was a good night. The Knicks were actually relevant for about a half hour. It felt, you know what? It actually felt pretty good to actually be rooting for an NBA team was relevant. And the last thing I need is Biseglia hopping on, gloating and gleeful, hopping on social media saying, oh, man, I love reading Knicks Twitter here, complaining about being the 3rd overall pick. Buzz off. I mean, get lost. Really, honestly. Go pet Leon and go to bed.
It's the first lottery in years where your Nets are not just giving away picks. You
right.
don't get to gloat.
The team that basically helped rebuild the Celtics. That made one of the worst trades in NBA history is gloating that the Knicks ended up with the 3rd overall pick. Can't take it. Taz of the Moose. Yes, Mike? Yes.
America's a great place.
Oh, stop. Bogus is in the house. It's Taz of the Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
This is basketball legend Christian Laettner, and you're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
You certainly are on this beautiful Wednesday morning. Taz is off. He's out sick, so not feeling all that well this morning. So hopefully he's back with us tomorrow. Bogus is stepping in his place, NBA Draft Lottery. We'll get into the ramifications. Get to your calls at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Line them up. What was your reaction to the draft lottery last night before game 1 of the Western Conference Finals? Bogus is in the house, sitting with me, but he's also got your updates throughout the course of the morning. What's up, Andrew?
Moose, this report is sponsored by Wrangler Outdoor. Pants and shirts made with durable fabrics, moisture management, and UPF 30 protection. Wrangler Outdoor clothing with outdoor credibility and everyday versatility. Try them on today. Steph Curry is your focus these days with Kevin Durant out injured, yet the Blazers let Curry go off for 36 points on 9 threes to start the Western Conference final last night. What went wrong, Damian Lillard?
Very poor execution, you know, defensively on our part. Just having our bigs back that far, understanding, you know, the team that we playing against, they're not going to shoot mid-range jumpers and try to attack the rim. If they see an opportunity to shoot a 3, they're going to take it, and they shoot it at a high clip.
Lillard scoring only 19, CJ McCollum only scoring 17 didn't help the Blazer cause either. Golden State ran away in the fourth for a 116-94 decision in Game 1. Klay Thompson added 26 to Curry's 36, the 14th time they've scored at least 25 in the same playoff game. They're back on the floor tomorrow night. We also get a Durant update tomorrow as well. Game 1 in the East is tonight, the Bucks hosting the Raptors, and then there is that draft lottery. Despite just a 6% chance, the Pelicans own the number one pick this morning, which means they'll likely own Zion Williamson's rights late next month. The Knicks, the Suns, the Cavaliers had the best odds for number one at 14% apiece. New York ends up picking third, Cleveland fifth, Phoenix sixth. On playoff ice, the Bruins are almost in the Stanley Cup final.
Here's Bergeron, scraped it away from Aho. And now DeBrusque will gather speed. Hands to McAvoy, over the line right side. Krejci, left circle, Marchand, pulls it to the slot. Backhand, they score!
That is Judd Surratt on Bruins Radio. Brad Marchand, a goal 5:07 after Chris Wagner broke a scoreless tie for Boston. They came in the second period. The Bruins held on for a 2-1 win in Carolina, a 3-0 series
Tuukka
lead.
Tuukka Rask was amazing.
35 saves for the Boston goalie, 20 of them in the first period as Carolina came out flying. The Bruins go for the sweep tomorrow night. Meanwhile, this evening at 8 Eastern in St. Louis, it's game 3 for the Blues and Sharks in the West finale. They split in San Jose. Baseball last night, Jock Peterson, Cody Bellinger with two-run homers in the third inning. The Dodgers beat the Padres 6-3. Toronto, a 7-3 win in San Francisco. That included the first two career homers for Vlad Guerrero Jr. St. Louis smacked Atlanta 14-3, and the Mets dumped the Nats 6-2. Washington now has dropped 11 of 15 on AL grass. Houston, an 11-4
quick note
win.
On that Nat game, Met game. So there was a point, Andrew, where I thought, Knicks are going to end up with the number one overall pick, and Syndergaard's going to throw a no-hitter.
It was
the sixth inning. I was like, oh, my God, he's going to actually do it. The Nats' offense is terrible. You mentioned it. They're struggling. There were eight games under going into it. People are saying, what the hell's going on? I know they're going to get healthier, and they are getting healthier. There was a point there for about a good 25 minutes where I was like, oh, my God, this is going to be one of the most magical New York nights ever.
And I was so tired yesterday. Long day, went from here. Had some errands to run, had two baseball games to get, and it was crappy weather again. It was
terrible. Cold,
it was raining. All I wanted to do was watch the lottery and go to sleep. So hopefully like 9:01, eyes closed, done. And it's through five, no hits. So when Wilmer Defoe?
Yes.
He gets that first hit. I'm like, okay, at least I can go to sleep now. I don't need to stay up for Noah's no-hitter.
I'm not going to miss history.
Right, exactly. American League action continuing last night. Again, the Astros an 11-4 win in Detroit. That's a seven-game win streak for them. Colorado won at Fenway 5-4 in 11, long after Chris Sale caved 17 over seven innings for Boston, but a no decision and a loss for his team. That ends a five-game winning streak. Moose, back to you.
All right, Andrew. Let's head out to Jersey. Let's head to the phones. 855-212-4227. It's our buddy John.
He is John, 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 John. He is John, 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 John. He is John, 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 John from Jersey.
Johnny, what's going on, brother? How are you?
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Hey. You know, first off, the notion that the lottery was fixed is preposterous. I mean, because if you think that, no matter which team won last night, you would think it's fixed. If the Knicks won, it's fixed. So, I mean, come on. So anybody that thinks that has to get past that. I mean, I'm not a fan of the lottery to begin with because I think the league has to put a lottery in place because they can't prevent their franchises from tanking. So, I mean, I'm not – I think it should just be it is what it is. Wherever you finish, that's where you pick. But that's – I mean, that's a...
Yeah,
that's
you and Andrew share a similar thought process on that. That's fair, and you can think that. And listen, I think the rationalization that Andrew mentioned, that you mentioned, John, this morning, I think is a fair take where, you know, you want to... In the NFL, the whole idea is, well, we could go from worst to first in any given year, right? Never give up. You see how many years do you see teams go from non-playoff teams irrelevant to the next year, all of a sudden they're winning division, and they're going to the NFL playoffs. There's great value there to continue to strive to try and win. And the pressure on coaches, for the most part, is to win in any given year, right? Unless you're drafting a young quarterback and you're given time to develop them. In the NBA, that's not the case. It's where losing is almost embraced and expected and accepted.
Right.
Now, the difference is that guys in the NFL, free agents, are willing to go wherever. there are spots in the NBA, free agency-wise, where big-time free agents just don't want to go. And that's the other problem you have.
Which is where the lottery comes into effect, because you can't sign those guys down the road, but maybe if you stink in the right year, you get him at least to start and have time to maybe convince him and build around him to
stay. And you
could
offer him the most money to stay.
Right, exactly.
That's the other caveat, too. You could offer him that, you know, whether it be a supermax deal or the max deal, you could pay him more than any other team.
Which is a disconnect with the way the system is working right now, in a way, because the NBA, I could be wrong in this, I think they have the most ways. Nothing as heavy as the franchise tag and a singular thing, but they have the most ways for teams to keep their players through free agency, between like bird rights and max deals. They have a lot of different mechanisms to keep you in Memphis or New Orleans or a place that maybe is not ideal location.
It's not just the franchise tag or transitional
tag. Here's the lottery where at times it's going to prevent teams from getting their one chance at getting a player like Zion.
Right. Fair point. Good point.
And then also, if you're a Knicks fan, look, ultimately you don't know how these guys are going to turn out. So they have a top three pick, but the Knicks offseason is going to be defined in June in free agency, not tonight. And it's going to be if Kevin Durant and whoever his Robin is come to the Knicks and they keep the three pick, or if they traded for Antonio Davis, you know, whatever they do with it, that's going to define the Knicks offseason, not last night. So I think, I mean, look, was I upset we didn't get Zion? Yes. But I think you got to calm down a little bit. And when free agency kicks in, that's when the Knicks are going to either – it's going to be make or break for them.
Yeah, but what they're missing now maybe is the best security blanket to striking out on Durant.
That's exactly right. That's it. And I think you hit upon – John, thanks a lot for the call. Andrew, is that – you know, the Knicks fan, I was very hopeful. And I understand it was only a 14% chance. It was 86% chance it was going to go to any other team other than the Knicks.
Right.
I get that. I understand it. But I was hopeful that maybe Lady Luck was going to be on the Knicks' side last night. And as I mentioned yesterday, it would have been a disaster if they fell to 5. And that's the lowest they could have fallen. But it would have been a disaster at 4 or 5 because of the prospects at the upper tier of this NBA draft in late June. It's not a disaster, but as you hit upon it, Andrew, is Zion is the security blanket. Because, you know, even if you don't end up with Durant and or Irving, and you don't hurt yourself by spending good money on bad players, then you can build around Zion, Knox, Mitchell Robinson, Dennis Smith Jr. You can continue to play that process till you find the free agent to invest in. But you have that young, dynamic player at 18, 19 years of age in Williamson that you can build your organization around and market your franchise around. And he plays with a zest and an energy that you're obviously drawn to. That's not the case. And it's hard to sell. I'm not telling you Morant's not going to be out, but they're not going to get John Morant. He's going to go number 2 overall. RJ Barrett is one that kind of disappeared in the stardom of Zion Williamson. And you know, to listen to Billis last night, well, a year ago, RJ Barrett was considered to be the best recruit in that class.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine, but everything changed within a year. Barrett can't drive right. All he can do is drive left. He can't hit a free throw to save his life. And he kind of folded the tents amongst the great stardom of Zion Williamson. Williamson basically overtook that entire Duke program.
Yeah, I still think the Knicks end up here with a really good player. If it's somehow Morant, even more so. I they're not interchangeable, the three of them. I think Zion is clearly the number one, but
agreed.
There's not an ocean between him and the other two guys.
No, I don't disagree. I agree with you there.
So I like it sucks today that you don't, if you're a Knicks fan, you don't have number one. I think you end up with a really, really good player who ends up being, if not your number one guy, again, depending on how things play out in free agency, but I think he's a really legit number two face of the franchise, still kind of player. I think either both of them are that good and have the potential to be that good. But Zion is the obvious, is the immediate win here, and they didn't get it. But at least they're not the Suns and the Cavs.
No, they're not the Suns.
Because they really lose today.
They did really lose. And you saw the reaction with DeAndre Ayton when the Suns pick was announced, and he was like, oh my God, we dropped there. I'm no longer going to be allowed back up on this dais if we're here next year. And all in all likelihood, the Phoenix Suns probably will be.
It's easier in college where you just pay the player to come to Arizona.
Now, But, Andrew, I will say this with Zion. There's something tangible about the excitement that he brings to the franchise.
Right.
That the other two don't. I'm not telling you that you're not wrong in your assessment of them as talents. Morant can play. He's got a great basketball IQ. There's nothing not to like about what he can be. A very athletic, game-changing Russell Westbrook, 2.0. That's what the expectations are. And R.J. Barrett has got a wonderful world of ability and is probably, the Knicks' most talented draft pick since Patrick Ewing. It's been quite some time. I mean, all these other guys are not nearly as talented as what R.J. Barrett is. But there's a tangible difference is that when Zion, if you had the number one overall pick, the excitement level, the interest, the draw, it's just not there with the other two like it is with Zion. And I know it all comes down to wins and losses. What do you do? But initially, that initial burn and heat, it is tangible with Williamson as compared to the other two.
You know, I almost think, and this could, again, just be me overthinking things. I almost want to say that dropping from 2 to 3 is actually a bigger drop than 1 to 2. Maybe I like Morant too much. Maybe I think he's so electric and... You might not be that jazzed today, but the first minute he's in Vegas, at the very least in summer league, throwing alley-oops, dribbling through with 5 different defenders, reverse dunking, I think you get the juice of that right away. Barrett to me is a little, like you said, I don't know if he's a project, but I think he might be the slowest to really grab the reins of your team of the three of them. So if that's who you end up with, He may be really, really good down the road. I don't know how good he is day one, where I think Morant might be more impactful right away at number two.
Well, right. I agree with you because you can be critical of Zion Williamson's game as an outside shooter. He's got to work on that. But everything else about his game that you love. You look at Ja Morant, he's got to improve his three-point shooting, but everything else about his game you love. There are real holes to the game of R.J. Barrett that he needs to work on. The fact that every college team knew that all he could do was drive left and he can't drive right, that's a problem when you're going to the NBA. That is a problem when you're a guy that is a 6'7 shooting guard and you have trouble hitting free throws. That's a problem when you go to the NBA. Like, those are real tangible issues that he needs to iron out and that he needs to work. When they're going through the checklist of Morant and Barrett, and one of the check marks is not next to shooting with R.J. Barrett, and it's today's day and age in the NBA, that's a problem when you look at it, because all it is about shooting in the NBA in 2019.
Yeah, I want to. This will be a good question for Jeff Goodman, who's coming on the show later today from Stadium. Because when going back to Zion and what as you project him into the NBA, the shooting is one thing for sure. But my first question remains: how he survives, how he plays, how he thrives when the physical disparity is not so big between him and the other guys on the floor. Like, that's because so much of what he did was because he was just bigger and stronger.
Yes.
Which is not going to be the case every single night in the NBA. Some games, obviously, it will. But there are going to be some dudes who can put some weight on him in the NBA and slow him down a little bit. And then to me, that's when the other stuff comes into play.
Yeah.
When he can step away, shoot from 20 feet, put it on the floor, and try and not rely on just being bigger and stronger and more athletic than you.
Well, you want to bring up now, he's not the same athlete, but Ben Simmons, he can't shoot from the outside. Williamson's a better shooter than Ben Simmons coming out of college, but you don't respect the outside game. You play off of him. He can't get to the lane.
Right.
I mean, so he can't get to the rim on a consistent basis because he can't consistently hit the outside jumper. All you have to do is have the threat of the outside jumper. They don't respect it with Ben Simmons. Similar thing with Zion Williamson. You're right. And Boeheim made that point about a week ago. I know he compared him to Barkley during the course of the regular season, another radio interview. But he said a similar point to what you just mentioned, Andrew, is that he's not going to be able to physically overmatch people on the NBA level like he did collegiately.
See, I've always thought like pseudo Larry Johnson when I see him. Because
that's a good comparison.
He's like shaped like a box. I mean, he doesn't look overly tall. He's wide. He's thick. And Larry Johnson had a versatile offensive game that Zion may have, but I don't know that he has it just yet.
But Larry showed it in college at UNLV.
True.
Yeah, more than Zion did. And, you know, Larry was, if you never, Larry Johnson in his prime at UNLV, I mean, he was a ridiculous, ridiculous player. For all you millennials out there that didn't get a chance to see Grandmama playing for Jerry Tarkanian and the running Rebels of UNLV. We'll come back. We'll talk about the options for David Griffin. Anthony Davis, his stance has not changed down in New Orleans. We'll get into that next. It's Taz and Moose. Bogus is in the house. CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
I just went to the men's room, right? Got stopped in my tracks, almost like I saw a wild dog, because, or like a mountain lion. There's a ginormous cockroach alive on the floor in the men's room here. Fantastic.
You know, I've never tried to kill a tiger like Taz.
Yeah, I wouldn't even come close. I'd be scared. First off, I don't want to. Would you try and kill it?
The cockroach or a tiger?
The cockroach.
They are incredibly difficult to kill.
Yes.
They are sneaky suckers, and they know you're coming. There's
it
no
stopped
sneaking
me in
up
the tracks.
On yeah.
Yeah, I just stopped, and I just walked around it, took care of what I needed to do, walked around it again, washed my hands, and walked out.
Yeah, and I was told by the landlord in my very first apartment that you actually shouldn't kill them by squashing them. Because they like shoot their eggs everywhere when you stomp them.
Dude, stop.
Nah.
And then
stop.
You're like promoting more cockroaches. Oh, you need to like trap it.
Yeah, I don't want.
No. Yeah.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Time right now to ask the pros. Where you, the listener, get to ask us a question. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Submit your question. Be listening later on the show. We might answer your question. Keeping a car clean is a simple and expensive form of maintenance, and O'Reilly Auto Parts has the cleaning and detailing products you need, including washes, waxes, polishes, leather, and vinyl care. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts for a clean car month. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every single day. It's almost like I'm on a run. Because last night I'm walking out of SNY, walking down the street, and I see a ginormous rat. So I see a rat walking back to my car last night, which is kind of a scene where they're scurrying across the street, especially when it's cold and rainy outside. They're trying to find cover, as it was last night in the tri-state area. And now I walk into the men's room here at the palatial studios here of CBS Sports Radio. And one of the men's rooms, there's two of them, Mike went oppo. I went to the other one. And the other one is a ginormous cockroach, which is
fantastic.
That bathroom is sadly...
Which is a worse sight, though, a cockroach or a rat?
Rat.
Yeah, a rat's, I feel like, more dangerous. A rat can, like, actually do something to you.
Right.
Cockroach is not going to attack you.
No,
like,
it's not going to attack you.
Like, a rat might take a nibble on your foot or something.
That's true. You're right about that. Now, rat in a closed, in like, if you know about, like, if I walked into the men's room and saw a rat scurrying around, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
I'm not going to the bathroom.
No, cockroach, I'll work
around. I'm immediately
around.
Leaving and probably running and squealing as I am leaving.
Well,
I'm in the building.
Then we're getting a rat in the bathroom to hear Moose squeal. Make that happen ASAP.
Well, a cockroach, I'm not doing that, obviously, but they're both alarming. Anytime you see a rat in the street in New York City, it's kind of like, you know, you're seeing a deer in the woods. Listen, you expect to see it at some point in time. It comes part and parcel with living in New York City or working in New York City. At some point in time, you will see a ginormous rat.
And nobody hates rats more than our boy Pete the Body.
Why
you can't stand him?
Really?
On the train platform in the morning, like it's not down the track. It can't get to us, and the dude's like jumping up the wall trying to get out of there.
Well, and the rat is the only one that could walk on the third rail and not get electrocuted.
Yeah,
which is amazing. Like everyone else, like avoid the third rail, which is the where the electricity is. Unless, a rat scurrying right on top of the third rail, nothing ever happens. Stronger.
Taunting Bilotti. Yeah, he gets his power from there.
That's exactly right. I was going to ask Mike to take a picture. Mike, go in that men's room. Take a picture. Put it out for social media.
We'll get the team on it.
Yeah, right. Just go see if it's still there. It's right at the entryway to the urinals.
With all its eggs.
Zion to the Pels. The impact on Anthony Davis in the NBA. We'll get into that next. Taz Moose, Bogus in the house. CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, football fans. The NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.